Beloved people of God, in Jesus the manna from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. Through Jesus, the bread of life, you are shown God's mercy. You are forgiven and loved into abundance life.
Amen. Amen.
And let us sing hymn number 522. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Have mercy on us, Lord.
Have mercy on us, Christ.
Gracious God, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Give us this bread always, that he may live in us and we in him, and that strengthened by this food, we may live as his body in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. 1 Kings chapter 18 describes the contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. The contest proves that the Lord is God, and afterward Elijah orders the killing of the Baal prophets. Angered by the deaths of her prophets, Queen Jezebel threatens to kill Elijah. This reading finds Elijah fleeing, fatigued, and in utter despair. A reading from 1 Kings. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 34, 1 through 8 responsively. I will bless the Lord at all times. The praise of God shall ever be in my mouth.
I will glory in the Lord. Let the whole earth hear and rejoice.
Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt God's name together.
I sought the Lord, answer me, and deliver me from all my prayers.
Look upon the Lord and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed.
I called to mind my affliction, and the Lord heard me, and saved me from all my troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord and delivers them.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. Christians are called to be imitators of God. This does not mean Christians are perfect. Rather, the Spirit is at work in our lives so that our actions and attitudes genuinely reflect the love and forgiveness we have received through Christ and his death. A reading from Ephesians. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless born by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that everyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that came down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, again, good morning.
Good morning.
Over the last few Sundays, Jesus has been telling us he is the bread of life. The Jews are uncomfortable with that, what Jesus is stating. They know where Jesus has been raised, they knew his family, or at least they thought so. People have their expectations when they come to Jesus. The crowds had seen Jesus perform miracles. He's healed the sick. Most recently, he's fed thousands of people with 2 loaves of bread and a few fish. So in today's lesson, what did people expect when they came to Jesus? Did they expect a magic show? Did they expect a 24-hour buffet? Here is what they did not expect. They did not expect Jesus to confront them about their real motives for coming to him. Listen as he says, Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Remember, in John's Gospel, miracles are reported as signs that Christ is who he says he is. This is the purpose of miracles. That was the real reason Jesus multiplied the fishes and loaves. But the crowd only saw the fact that they were bountifully fed, and Christ knew they would be back for more. Don't you hate it when someone makes you confront your true motives? Barbara Brown Taylor is a nationally known Episcopal priest and author. She's also one of my favorite authors. She tells the story of a retreat she led one time in the Carolina Mountains. One evening, she asked the retreat members to answer this question. Who in your life reminds you of Jesus? There were the usual answers, my granddad, my mom, my best friend. One woman did not jump in to respond. She was really giving this question some serious thought. Finally, she looked up and she said, I had to think hard about that one. I kept thinking, who is it that told me the truth about myself so clearly that I felt that I could kill him for it? Think about that for a moment and apply it to your faith. Who is it that told you the truth about yourselves and myself so clearly that I felt that I could kill them for it? If we listen, Jesus will tell the truth about ourselves. And it might not be pretty. In the words of that woman in the retreat, we might even want to kill them for it. We all have friends, but our true friends are the ones that tell us the truth about ourselves. One time I was helping with a holiday meal where there was a young person helping me. There was also another lady, and everything she did, she criticized. Finally, I reached my breaking point and said some unkind things back to this lady. Everyone in the kitchen heard. Of course they did. My best friend came up to me and said I needed to apologize to this lady, that I should forgive. For a moment, I felt justified in my anger. But the realization was I was no better than the woman that I had criticized. I apologized. It wasn't easy. I could have held on to my anger, could have made up all kinds of excuses for why I thought I was right, justified why I could say what I did. My soul was at stake. Jesus daily has to forgive me for my humanness. In Jesus, my needs are met. He fills up that emptiness within me. When you look at the times that Jesus confronted people in the Bible, his motive was never to shame them or to prove his superiority over them. His motive was to bring them closer to God. Jesus uses truth-telling to make us aware of the gap between what we say we believe and what we actually believe. Jesus invites us to be a part of him. No one's excluded. Jesus said, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. There is no restriction on the kind of person. Jesus invites all to his table. It makes no difference who you are or what you've done. It makes no difference where you're from or how you got there. There is no official language at Christ's table except the language of the heart. So as we celebrate the Lord's meal, remember that each of us have a place. And this is another story. At the close of my Sunday morning service, not me, another pastor, in a church in Florida, the pastor stepped down off the platform to the table where the communion elements were waiting. After saying a few words of explanation, he asked those who were to serve the elements to come forward. As he handed the trays to the designated servers, he looked up. Standing before him was a tough-looking fellow, numerous tattoos on his arms. The pastor had never seen him before, but he figured he was someone who had been designated to serve, and the pastor just didn't know about it. He handed the stranger two trays, one holding the bread and the other the wine. The stranger gave him a strange look, but took the trays and walked off with the other servers. In a moment, he was back standing in front of the pastor with the trays. Which of these do I eat first? He whispered. The pastor realized the young man was totally unfamiliar with their tradition. He explained that most people ate the bread first, then drank from the cup. Should I do that now? The young man asked, his nervous hands shaking as he held the trays. Why not? The pastor chuckled. He took the trays and he offered him the elements. Gingerly, almost cautiously, the stranger took first a piece of bread, then the cup. You have just taken Jesus into your body, the pastor smiled, trying to encourage him. The young man's eyes filled with tears. He was embarrassed and quickly returned to his seat. After the service was over, the pastor saw the same fellow coming towards him. Before he could move, the new man threw his arms around the pastor's shoulders and began weeping loudly. The pastor stood there and held him as he cried. A few moments later, a woman came up and stood with him. I'm his wife, she said, her own eyes filled with tears. He's so embarrassed. He's never been in a church service in his life. He's been on drugs and alcohol for years. This week, he accepted Jesus as his Savior and asked to come to the service this morning. I told him there might be a time when he could come forward and say he had accepted Jesus. When you ask the service to come forward, he thought that was the time. Then you handed him the communion trays, and he was confused and embarrassed. He didn't know what to do with them. The pastor stepped back and looked the man in the face. His once hardened features were soft with tears. God loves you so much, said the pastor, smiling. He saw you take that tiny step forward towards him, and he was so overjoyed. He placed in your hands the most precious thing the church has, the sacrament of the body and blood of his Son. Then he told you to go give Jesus to other people. But I didn't know what I was doing, the young man wept. None of us knows what we are doing, said the pastor. We just obey, and God honors our obedience by blessing us with gifts. The only ones who receive nothing are those who do not step out. There is no wrong time to accept Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life. Who eats of this bread, which we will do this morning, will live forever. And the bread that he will give us for the life of the world is our flesh. Jesus is the bread of life. Who eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Amen. The hymn of the day, I am the bread of life. One another, let's do our statement of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
All right, calling on the Spirit of Wisdom to guide our hearts and our minds, let us pray for the Church, the world, and all in need. Reignite the prayer of the Church. By your Spirit, root your Church around the globe in prayer and spiritual practices. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We rely on the goodness of your creation in everything we do. We pray for the trees that offer shade and for our fellow creatures that depend on the trees for shelter and food. Sustain the work of all who advocate for forests and wilderness areas. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Guide our leaders and nations with a spirit of justice and mercy. Let no evil come out of our mouths, but rather let us extend grace. We pray for our enemies. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Sustain feeding ministries and organizations such as the ELCA, World Hunger, and our local food pantries. We work and pray for a day when hunger is no more. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We pray for this congregation and for all who are gathered. Be present among anyone who cannot be with us today. Be with all who are hurting, grieving, or ill. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We remember the saints who have gone before us in faith, trusting in the promise of the resurrection. We find hope in your communion of saints of all times and of all places. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We lift up these prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them into your holy keeping.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
And we greet each other?
Yes.
So do you do the offertory and then sing the thanks, or do you do the sing the thanks and then do the offertory?
Offering and then sing. Do the offering and then sing.
Okay, so give unto God all that is good, just, and right, and if you have nothing to give, give your hearts.
our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn.
Thank you. blessing instead?
No, I already did it.
Thank you.
Jesus, the bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now serve in us to love the lover of your mind. In your name we pray. Amen.
The blessings of God who provides for us, feeds us, and journeys with us, be among you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
The closing song is Guide Me Ever, We Will Know.
Thank you.